Hi guys, let's talk about four steps in overcoming resentment. Life is difficult, and it's difficult even when we're not carrying anger, bitterness, and resentment. And sometimes we find ourselves in that place of life and we feel powerless against these emotions and this internal struggle that's going on. We're like, what do we do? Because these things show up in our attitudes, they show up in our decisions, they affect the relationships that we have with other people. And sometimes we're aware of this and we're like, we don't like this, but what do we do? And how do we get out of this? Well, let's talk about four steps in overcoming resentment. Step number one, pray for the grace to forgive. Now, there's certain prayers that we offer up to God and we wonder, is He going to answer this prayer? For example, you want to know the lottery numbers for next week. That kind of prayer, I'm betting, if I was a betting guy, that God might not answer the prayer in the way that we'd hope He would answer. But there's certain prayers that God always answers. And one of the prayers that He always answers with a yes is, God, grant me the grace to forgive. And why does God always answer that prayer? Because He doesn't want us to be stuck in unforgiveness. What is unforgiveness? It is a sinful response to another person's sin. And so God wants to bring us out of that. Now, a couple problems that come up with being stuck in unforgiveness. One is that we're not going to want to forgive. Our emotions are going to tell us, you know, get even, get revenge. That's what our emotions are going to tell us. So if we wait for our emotions to tell us to forgive, we're never going to forgive. What I've found is that our emotions often give us bad advice, especially when it comes to things that are difficult. And forgiving another person is difficult. And so then we go to God and say, God, please grant me the grace to forgive because this is impossible without You. And step number two, make a quality decision to forgive. Now we can go through the motions of forgiveness, but that doesn't necessarily mean forgiveness has been accomplished in our heart. To be able to make a quality decision to forgive somebody, we have to be willing to carry the pain they have caused us. And you might be thinking, Ken, that's unfair. Like, well, I don't want more pain. That's why I want to get out of it. You know, that doesn't seem right. Well, it might not necessarily seem right, but think about what Jesus did. Jesus carried the pain that we inflicted upon Him as He went to the cross. In fact, He bore our guilt. He bore our shame. And so for forgiveness to be accomplished, we have to be like Jesus, who took our guilt, took our shame, took that pain upon Himself on the cross, died, suffered, and rose again and conquered it. And the only way that we're going to be able to overcome the pain that we're stuck in is if we come to the decision that says, I'm willing to carry this cross of pain, like Jesus did. But we don't carry it by ourselves. We carry it in union with Jesus. See, the thing about carrying the pain is you got to carry it anyway. I mean, you're stuck with it, right? So you can carry it with anger, bitterness, and resentment, or you can carry it with the heart of Jesus, who is paying the consequence, paying the price for sin. And so we make a decision. Say, Jesus, I'm willing to carry this pain. I unite it to You, Jesus. Now, conquer it. And in that place, we are able to find freedom. And step number three, pray for the people who have hurt you. Now, not one of these prayers, God, get even with them. Let fire and brimstone rain down from heaven, expose the depravity of their sin to their hearts. You know, punish them. That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. The kind of prayer that I'm talking about goes something like this. God, bless them with every spiritual blessing that You've blessed me with, but multiply it by 1,000. So long as this prayer doesn't hurt my salvation. You know, something like that. But pray for the good for those who have sinned against you. I mean, again, this is what Jesus did. There He's on the cross. We placed Himself there through our sin. And what does He do? He prays for us. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So in order to be Christ-like, in order to overcome the resentment that's stuck in our hearts, one thing that's very useful and very helpful is that we pray for those who persecute us. And in fact, this is what Jesus asked. Matthew 5:44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And step number four, decide to love. Decide to love the person who has sinned against you. Now, what does love want? Love desires the highest good of the one that is being loved. And so what is the highest good that we could hope for somebody? It's heaven. So in the way that we treat another person has to be leading them to heaven, not hurting their salvation. Think about if that person was in need, would you be willing to help them out? Proverbs 25, verse 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. My friends, there is life after resentment. I heard somebody once say that when you forgive a person, you set a prisoner free, and you realize that prisoner was yourself. You can be bitter, or you can become better. The choice is yours.